morning, guys.
Can you describe the feeling of waking up this morning and for the first time in, let me do the math, 7 months? No meetings, no practice, no football. It's over.
Yeah. You know, it's not a lot of us probably got a whole lot of sleep last night. So it's just a, obviously a disappointing way to end the season for all of us. And any time it ends, it's tough to swallow, and certainly the way we played yesterday. No one likes to go out like that. So it's just a, one of those days where we didn't really put our best out there. And if you're going to beat the good teams, you gotta play well. And we just didn't.
Tom, before we talk about the team's overall performance, I'd like to talk about yours specifically. And I think I know you well enough to know that you're not going to come on this radio program today and blame your poor performance on the injuries. So if it's not cracked ribs and it's not a broken ring finger on your right hand you're throwing in, then what is it? And the second part of that question is, don't you feel a little bit tempted to say, I got a broken finger on my right hand here? That's part of the reason I kind of stunk out the joint yesterday.
Well, I don't think that was, that was the reason. I don't think any of those injuries are the reason for any of it. I mean, like I said, after the game, you either play or you don't play. And to sit here and play and then, you don't have a great game and then you blame all, the things that are bothering you, then, to me that's not real mental toughness. I mean, it doesn't, I was able to play and I felt, I felt great about what we were doing. And obviously, the turnovers hurt us, as they always do. And, those are inexcusable. And we got to find a way to do a better job with that. And you play good teams, you can't give them extra opportunities and short fields and so forth. And it's something that we've been always very good at in the postseason. And it's pretty easy to see when you don't do very well at those things, then, you're not going to have a very long postseason. So, like I said, you hate to have it end that way, because we put a lot of work into it and we expected some really, great things this postseason. We just didn't get the job done.
Hey, I know, Tom, you're proud of the fact that you played in all 17 games, but was there ever a point at this during this year where you considered, because of your physical condition, not starting on one of these Sundays, taking a week off?
No. I don't think that ever crossed my mind, and I don't think that crosses any of our players' minds. You got to be out there to help the team win, and you got to give everything you have, and that's our job. That's why we're here. I mean, that's why we train hard. That's why you got to challenge yourself, in the off season to overcome the mental adversities that you may face, and that's just not something that. You've got to push yourself to the point where you don't think you can go much further, and then you go further and you overcome it. So that's part of what the off-season training is all about. That's part of being an athlete. And we have a lot of really tough guys on our team and a lot of great competitors, which is why, we were in the postseason and why we were the third seed. We just, it all comes down to one game yesterday, and we didn't play good.
Hey, you know as well as anyone what it takes to reach a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. Did you think before you took the field yesterday that this team had what it took to go all the way, to win it all?
Of course I did. I mean, yeah, we had played the Colts, who were the one seed, and we all really felt that game. We had that 13 points with 4 minutes left. I mean, I don't think any of us felt that, man, I hope we don't play the Colts again. We played pretty good against the Colts, though, too. We had a good game, aside from, the last 4 minutes of the game. So, we felt like we could do a really, some real positive things here, and thought we could play pretty well down the stretch. We played Baltimore and played them pretty well the first time we played them. And then, yesterday we just never really got on track. So, could never really get into our game plan as we were down. Because of the turnovers, we're down, so much so early.
As we address the collective funk that the team was in yesterday, and I think, a lot of observers said, well, with the exception of maybe Edelman and Faulk, everybody got failing grades for that effort. Did the Ray Rice 83-yard touchdown run, Tom, on the first play of the game put the team in that collective funk, or was there going to be a bad ball game for New England even if you had forced a three and out on that first possession?
Well, you know, I think plays like that, you know, they have a great running back. I mean, he's one of the best in the league, and he's going to make plays like that. You know, I mean, he's a great player, and I think offensively it's our responsibility to go out there and answer that. You know, to go out there and answer their score with our own score and get the ball, you know, make it a 7-7 game. And instead, you know, we had the strip sack where they score again, and then we had another turnover and they score again. So, I mean, it doesn't help our defense out at all when you just give them the ball like we did. You know, and there's not one play that you point to in the game and says that's the one. I mean, there's a lot of plays that we would have needed to make to get ourselves in the game and to do better. And you know, we just never got off to such a slow start. You know, if you get off to a slow start like that and you're down 21-0, you pretty much have to be flawless the rest of the game. And you know, we still made errors in other parts of the game, and that's why the outcome was the way it was, because, you know, we couldn't sustain anything, you know, over the course of the game, and we couldn't ever really make it a ball game.
Hey, Tom, Phil Simms said on the broadcast that he was told by Ray Lewis that Ray Lewis was watching you on TV and watching all the Patriots games, and from that figured out your audibles, your calls at the line. He would listen, and he would and put the pieces together, and he knew what was coming. Did you buy that?
I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, he may have had a key. I mean, we have certain keys also. I mean, none of that really, in the end of the day, makes a whole lot of difference in what we're doing. I mean, I don't know what to say. You gotta call the cadence on TV, and they have the microphones, you know, 2 inches from your face. So, of course, they're going to have the audio. I mean, it's, but every team in the league has the audio, so, you know, he's a damn good player, and he uses whatever he can find to his advantage. And, you know, he played a great game yesterday. He's been a great player in the NFL for a long time. So, you know, it's one of the guys that we really wanted to kind of neutralize, you know, if you can neutralize a guy like that. And he still made, you know, plenty of plays in there, you know, plays that he needed to make.
Tom, after a game like this that ends a season like that, obviously there are going to be a lot of tough questions. So here comes another one. Did you have to work hard this year to cajole and convince Randy Moss to stay connected and involved in what everybody was doing and saying and on the same page? I mean, on this radio program, you have praised him up and down. But are you convinced that your greatest wide receiver in the history of the NFL, or one of them certainly in the conversation, was busting his ass and giving it his all every single time his number was called or every time a play was run?
You know, I think that's, you know, I have a lot of trust and confidence in Randy. And, you know, he's, you know, every team in the league really game plans around him. I mean, there wasn't many opportunities for him yesterday, you know, where he wasn't, you know, we didn't have a safety high over the top of him. And sure, we throw it to him for those, you know, more shorter intermediate completions. But, you know, he becomes a threat when he's able to get down the field. And, you know, just by their game plan, and they weren't really going to let him get down the field. And that's, you know, that's good defense by them, and they're a good defense, and we've got to find other ways to, you know, to get him the ball and get other guys down the field. And that's part of what we as an offense need to do in order to get the ball in the end zone. So, you know, Randy is a, you know, he practices, he has a lot of, you know, he has a lot of heart for the game, and he loves playing the game, and, you know, he's a very hard worker, and, you know, he's someone that I've always relied on, and we have a great relationship, and, you know, like I said, it doesn't always tell the story when you get two or three clips on, you know, on the NFL channel, and, you know, a bunch of people analyzing, you know, this particular play or that particular play, when they really don't know the whole story, so, you know, I really love being with Randy, and, you know, he's one of the team leaders on the team, so. You know, we've all, as team leaders, have to have a great off season and make the improvements that we need to make and come back with, you know, a greater resolve than we had this season, and take the lessons that we learned from this season and move forward with, you know, a better understanding of what it takes to get to where we need to be. Because, you know, at times this year, like I said, we did some really good things, and we were really disjointed. I mean, we just could never really get on the same page, and that's, you know, that's shouldn't be as tough as we made it at times offensively, and you know, we've got to find ways to correct that.
Tom, I guess this next question falls under the category of leadership issues, and I'm wondering, is that locker room, the solid, galvanized 53 players and coaches all committed to the same common cause that it was during the dynasty years? And the reason I ask that is it seems to me that when you lose character people like a Rodney Harrison or a Teddy Bruschi or a Richard Seymour or a Mike Vrabel, the culture of that locker room might change a little bit when, you know, four guys don't show up on time as an example. And my guess is that back in the day, you know, Rodney or Teddy or Richard or Mike would go up to those guys and say, that's not how we do it here in New England. That's not the Patriot way. Does that culture still exist the way it did back in the dynasty, Tom?
Well, you know, I believe we've all thought about that. And you know, guys like Teddy and Rodney and, you know, Mike and Larry Izzo and Richard, I mean, they don't come around very often. You know, it's not like, you know, those guys are just, you know, available via free agency every year. Mm-hmm. You know, these are special players and special guys. And, you know, it's not the Patriot uniform that makes, you know, the team play the Patriot way that you refer to. I mean, it's the coaches and the players all collectively working toward the same goal. And anytime you lose players like that, you know, there is a loss. And you know, you lose a guy like Rodney who, you know, I always say Rodney would he'd practice defensively and then he would come over and practice against the offense when we were giving us a scout team look, and he would play a position different than safety that was corner sometimes. Sometimes it was the sub defender, the slot, the guy over the slot to work on his skill. So, you know, those were exceptional players and, you know, were big reasons why we've been so successful over the years. Now, when you lose those guys, it gives other players opportunities and other, you know, players that are new to the system or players that have been here a few years that have watched those guys and have trying to grow into that role, whether that's a guy like Gerard Mayo or, you know, Sam Aiken or, you know, other guys that were elected captains. So, you know, you can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, you know, Rodney Harrison's replaceable. I mean, there's no way, mm-hmm. You know, but other guys have to, you know, step in and fill those shoes, and guys who are here with those type of players have to, you know, take those lessons of they learn from them and use those and apply those to what was happening this season. So, you know, I know it's a long-winded answer, and you know, the reality is obviously the leadership on our team wasn't where it needed to be, and I'm speaking for myself that I was one of those leaders that certainly needs to do a better job and, you know, getting everybody on the same page and filling the void left by those key players that you mentioned.
Hey, you made some news a couple weeks ago when you said sometimes this team doesn't fight hard enough. Did you feel that way yesterday, Tom? And as the season ends, as you head out the door, would that apply to the whole season that you just didn't fight hard enough?
Well, you know, I think that it's not necessarily, you know, I think it's just in order to be a great team, I mean, there's got to be that commitment over the course of the year and not just during the games. I mean, the games is kind of when it's easy, you know, and it's whatever coach asks us to do, that's what we need to be willing to do. And he has a great feel. I mean, being around him for as long as I've had Coach Belichick, he understands when we're ready to play. You know, he understands when he feels like we're going through the motions. You know, he always says, don't mistake activity for achievement. You know, just because you go out there and break a sweat doesn't mean you're getting.
We'll take a quick 90-second break, see if we can reconnect with Tom, and the quarterback hour will continue with Tom Brady after this brief timeout. All right, we're back. We're reconnected with Tom Brady.
Did you swear again, Tom?
You didn't swear, did you?
Apologize, guys. Where was I?
You were talking about that Jerry was asking you about everybody trying hard on the team and giving as much effort as they possibly could.
Yeah, and I just said, you know, Coach Belichick always has kind of the pulse of the team, and he knows when we're ready to play, and he knows when, you know, he feels like we haven't prepared the way we need to prepare. And, you know, part of that mental toughness, part of that commitment and is doing whatever he asks us to do, you know, to be prepared to play. And, you know, I know at times he was frustrated by that, you know, and I know we as, you know, leaders on the team were trying to convey that message to everybody. And, you know, we obviously didn't do a very good job of that. So, you know, it's something that we, moving forward in 2010, need to do a better job of, you know, where the outcome is the same. I mean, and none of us really feel like being a, you know, a very mediocre team. And, you know, at times we played much better than mediocre, and sometimes we played, you know, just that. So,
Tom, did he know, did you know yesterday at 1 o'clock that the team wasn't prepared to play?
No, I mean, I know he didn't feel like Thursday we had a very good day of practice. I mean, he, you know, he was really kind of, you know, pissed off at the way we practiced on Thursday. And like I said, you know, a lot of the times you've had a really bad practice during the week and you overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some days you don't overcome it. And, you know, some days you have a really bad first quarter and you overcome it, and other days you don't. Just that margin of error becomes a lot less when you don't, you know, perform the way you need to perform the entire week. And, you know, we've had plenty of bad practices. I'm not saying that's why, you know, you lose the game. It's just, you know, Coach, you know, like he always has, like I said, he's got a great pulse for what's going on and what he feels. And, you know, I always feel we're the best coach team in the league. I mean, we really are. There's nobody that's more prepared as a team than we are. And, you know, the way that he coaches us and the way that we, you know, watch the film and, you know, there's a great level of preparation. You know, I just think yesterday, when it comes down to it, I mean, we didn't play well.
Are you completely comfortable with the play calling system that's in place, getting the right plays at the right time into your helmet and onto the field?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't think it's, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with plays. I mean, the plays are, you know, we have damn good plays. You know, it's certainly not that. I mean, it's playing, you know, it's us executing the plays. I mean, no one draws up a play to say, okay, when they're covered, you know, make sure you throw it to the defense. I mean, that's, you know, you gotta throw the ball away. I mean, sometimes there's times where you gotta take a sack, you know, instead of throwing the ball to, it becomes an interception. So, you know, that's the accountability that we have as players. That's the accountability that I have as a quarterback that needs to be better next year. Because it's not good enough this year, and it's never gonna be good enough. I mean, you can't, you know, we gotta do a better job playing. And, you know, for me, I gotta do a better job playing. And, you know, I have a lot of confidence. And you know what? I mean, I think the positive that I take, you know, is that I have another opportunity to do it next year.
Mm.
You know, you know, I think that's one thing. I woke up this morning and, you know, my body feels really, you know, healthy and strong. And I say, you know, I'm just very fortunate that, you know, I'll have a chance to really redeem myself and our team can have redeem itself next year, because this is not obviously the last game I will ever play.
Well, forget.
You know, to play, you know, many more years after this.
Forget next year. Aren't you excited about the Pro Bowl in a couple weeks?
Oh, man. I'm sure we'll come up with something.
You'll think of something. Speaking of next year, I know it's not your job, Tom, but if you had to guess, how much different will this team look next year than it does right now or than it did yesterday?
Well, I'm sure it'll be quite a bit different. I mean, usually always is. I mean, there's always a lot of moving parts and moving pieces, and guys get opportunities other places, whether coaches or certainly players. And really the reality of the league at this point and the season that we're moving into in 2010 is an uncapped year. It's a lot of really, you know, interesting rules that are kind of coming into play starting March 1st. And I've learned a lot about them as a union rep. You know, and it's really an interesting time in the league. And I don't think anyone really knows which direction it's heading. Hopefully our goals as players and as owners are really mutually aligned. And, you know, we love the game. And, I mean, the owners, you know, they love the game. And, you know, they support, you know, the players. And we have players support the owners. But, you know, we all want the best for, you know, the league moving forward collectively. And you know, we've got 1 year left in our labor agreement, which I think there's going to be a lot of interesting off-season moves made by teams, because it's a very different season. So based on a normal off season and based on the circumstances of this off season, I could see a lot of kind of unique things happening.
Hey, Tom, nervous or gutless reporters or questioners generally preface difficult questions with, your critics say, Tom Brady, or people say this about you. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to give you a chance to handle a question that I know you know is out there. Tom, has your commitment to the cause, first one in the facility in the morning, last one to leave at night, earning the parking spot that you know what that's all about, any tougher to maintain with all the other things going on in your life? Are you as into it as you were before your life expanded?
Well, you know, I just think the guys who really know that answer are the guys that I play with. So, you know, I mean, I love the game and I love playing and I love working hard for it. I mean, there's obviously not, it's funny. For me, there's not a lot of things going on in my life, you know, as funny as that sounds, other than my career and my family. So, hopefully because I got married, that doesn't affect the way that I play quarterback. that's not something that, you know, I've thought much about. That's a God, you know, my performance as a football player is really going to go down because I got married or, you know, I've had children. So, I think my life is very focused and prioritized on the things that are important to me. And that's obviously my family and my football career. And there's not really a whole lot of other things going on other than that.
You never even dated any girls the first, like, 6 years of your career, right? You were celibate? I got a question about a play yesterday that I've seen it 17 times and I still can't figure out what happened. Your critics say the Chris Carr interception was like your worst throw of the year.
Gutless.
What are you looking at? I looked at it 100 times. Who was that intended for? What are you thinking on that pick?
Which one, Jerry?
The Chris Carr interception to your right when you stepped up through to your right, and there's a bunch of Ravens there, and it might be the TV camera angle, but you really can't see a receiver.
Yeah, well, that was a terrible play, and it was a bootleg, and I had someone in the flat, and I looked out there, and he was covered, I think, by Chris Carr. And it's just, you know, it happened a couple times this year where I don't want to take a sack, you know, but I don't want an intentional grounding, you know, because the guy's right on me, you know, the guy who's going to come to, it was Jared Johnson. You know, so kind of as a quarterback, you know, you want to throw the ball in an area of a receiver, you know, so you don't get an intentional grounding. And, you know, I thought I had that, you know, crossing route from the backside tight end, you know, which I'm not trying to complete the ball. I'm just trying to get it in an area where I think he's going to be. Yeah. And, you know, I threw it, and then Chris Carr came off. When he saw me look back there, he came off of, you know, I think it was Ben, and just wheeled back for the interception.
I think it's Chris Baker behind him. Is it? Yeah, Baker. About five yards behind him. How much? Edelman.
Kind of like the one at the end of the Miami game you know, if I take a sack, you know, you're pretty much screwed, and you can't, because it's an inside route, you know, you got to, you know, it's just, it's kind of a rock and a hard place, and obviously I don't want to throw an interception in situations like that. You know, I'd rather take a sack, or try to throw it into a place where nobody can get it. And, that was, you know, not where you want to throw the ball, where they have an opportunity to make a play on it.
We all saw Edelman and all applauded his effort, but was there something that Welker would have done if he were there that Edelman was just not capable of doing because of all the experience that you guys have had together?
Well, you know, we were without him, and we had all week to practice without him, and we had a game plan without him, and you know, we felt like we could, you know, still advance the ball and do a lot of good things without Wes. And you know, Wes, I mean, he's an unbelievable player. I mean, there's no one, you know, there's nobody in the league that, you know, can do what Wes does. One of the greatest slot receivers, you know, the league has ever seen. So, you know, you'd like to have both guys on the field, you know, not just one of them. You know, one really doesn't replace the other. And Julian did a great job. He's had a pretty remarkable year for a guy who never caught a pass this time. So, you know, he's something. He's someone that, you know, we're all, you know, very encouraged by, and you know, we're all very, you know, we're all very, you know, excited about what's to come with him. So, and there's a lot of other players like that too, guys who have really had their best years. A guy like Brandon Merriweather, you know, who's going to continue to be relied on as a team leader, and Gerard Mayo, same thing, same type of player and talent. You know, we're gonna have to kind of lick our wounds and deal with the next 8 months of an off season, and then, you know, really look forward to what's ahead.
Well, Tom, you'll be sad to know that this wraps up another year with you and me and D and C and all of that sort of stuff. And while I understand you aren't able to bare your soul and tell us the deepest, darkest secrets of New England Patriot football, I do want you to know we appreciate your effort to explain as best you can what's going on in the program, what's going on in the team, and what's going on in your life. So thanks very much, and sad to say you won't have to talk to us next Monday morning.
I did, and I appreciate, you know, another year with you guys, and you guys are always very respectful, and I appreciate that toward, you know, myself personally and our team, and you know, the fans we've had. Just to thank all the fans who have supported us, and you know, we'll be back. I know that we're not, you know, this team isn't going anywhere. We got a lot of great pieces in place, and you know, hopefully we can just you know, do a better job next year, you know, all around. And look forward to talking to you guys, and have a great. Not hey, that you guys have an off season, but
hey, Tom, for the record, you did not blame the fans for booing. I mean, I don't know if Kelly Washington doing the throat slash and saying that the dynasty is over, I don't know if that bothered you, but you were not bothered by the fans booing.
No, I never get bothered by that. I mean, I think they have every right to tell us when we're not playing good, and we've got the. I mean, I was at those victory Super Bowl parades too, where we have a million people out there. So, right. You know, when we play good, you know, there's great support, and we always get great support. I mean, every time I'm out and about, and people, you know, are around town, you know, cheering us on and supporting us. I mean, we've got so much of that. So we can be in a lot of other places where people don't care. Like, you know, I don't want to mention some of those other places where, you know, but we always have a lot of people that care about what we're doing and care about the way we play. And when we're not playing up to their expectations, they let us know, and that's their right. So hopefully it'll give them a lot more reasons to cheer next year.
Hey, Tom, I'll only say as we say goodbye here, your new grooming approach, I think will have you looking just about like Troy Polamalu by July, I think, right?
Trying to get those Head and Shoulders commercials.
There you go. Tom, enjoy your off season. Heal up, and we'll talk to you down the road.